Chillax, a podcast where you listen to this our boy talk about life, news, and anything interesting. If you didn't know, you can support this podcast at patreon.com/chillaxpodcast, patreon.com/chillaxpodcast. You know, for a monthly subscription, you can get additional episodes for free, and right now I'm trying to include more episodes besides the monthly episodes where we have some late night thinking musings. I call it late night musings, where, you know, anything that comes across my mind, just talk about it. Interesting things I've seen, I will just put it there. So it's somewhat an extension of this Chillax podcast that you're listening right now. So if you listen to this quite regularly and you use this to fall asleep, to study, to commute, you know, feel free to explore that Patreon page and see whether you are interested in it or not. But no worries, this podcast will still be running, be free. And yeah, thank you for your support. But today we're going to be talking about, is north side the worst side? Because I come from the north side, and I didn't know north side is the worst side, technically the worst side, until uni. I think around uni time, that's where the trope and the stereotype of north side started happening, right? But I think in the past, people kind of can see that really there's a lot of arbing and all these things. But it's only, I think, in uni where meme culture really, in Singapore, really cements itself, right? You have a lot of these new tropes coming up where they say Northside is all the stabbing. You see a lot of Mothership articles showing crazy people, stabbings, druggies, arlongs, everybody is in Northside. And I didn't understand why is it happening in Northside until one day I was like scrolling through Facebook, then I saw this article about housing being very expensive, and I see this table of all the house prices across Singapore, different areas. And then I see Northside, I mean, they have like Yishun, Sembawang, Woodlands and all this. Then I see, wow, actually Northside is probably the cheapest. Then I was wondering, why is that the case? Then, you know, I think about it, then I realize, it's the distance away from the town. And at the same time, the fact that it is near the border of Malaysia. So if a war happens, you get attacked, then you kind of like, you're the first to die, right? Maybe these are the two reasons, but maybe there are other reasons as well. But overall, Northside is probably the cheapest place to live. And then when the place is kind of cheap to live, you definitely have these kind of situations happening, right? And I guess it's unfortunate, but it's quite interesting. I mean, as much as this is like, oh, you have all these problems happening, but Singapore is still very safe where you don't see these kind of people around, right? Sometimes you see very I would say so during uni, right, I went to Tampines a lot to study with my friends, and I can clearly see a huge difference. Like, I think in the north side, maybe once every bi-weekly situation, or okay, once every 2 weeks to be clear, you kind of see strange people, like people that is a bit like not, that doesn't have a sound mind in the north side. And then in the Tampines area, throughout like the 2 years that I went to Tampines to study, there was only one time. But then I think only until recently, when we were about to graduate, then we start to see a lot of homeless people going to Tampines there, because I think in Tampines hub, right, there's a lot of amenities where there are like benches and there's like charging plugs that is supposed for people to study, but then now it become a situation where a lot of homeless people would kind of like stay there, because there's free charging, there's a toilet, there's aircon, and even there's water cooler, if I'm not wrong. So it's quite interesting, but you kind of see a different kind of set of people. And then I wouldn't say like maybe Northside is the worst area, right? But you kind of see a lot more worse than, and I thought Tampines was always like, oh, clean and sparkly and everything, until I saw the homeless people and I see, oh, actually there are homeless people everywhere. Yeah, I thought only Northside is the terrible side. But overall, I think I still see quite a fair bit of people. They are like a bit crazy in Northside, and that's quite interesting, isn't it? Living there, because ever, you know, I thought it was just everybody. I didn't really fully understood the whole situation. When I was young, I was like, people told me that our school is quite bad, and you know, there was arbing and everything. And then like my perspective was very much self-contained. But only until I reached poly and uni, then I realized, hey, being my secondary school being the worst bottom 10 school and students burning the teacher's hair and having secret society people waiting outside in plain clothes trying to catch someone, it's actually pretty bad. And it's just a bad environment. Then I kind of understood how, like, you know, all these helicopter parents, all these parents really, you know, take all the effort and money to move to different areas so to find a school that will provide the best environment. And I realized, like, a lot of this, like, some of these people that I know, these parents, right, they also come from similar background like me. Then they work their way up, and then, you know, they kind of understand the power and the influence of a good environment. Yeah, then I kind of understand, like, you know, even though they are, like, a bit extreme, but I will understand that if I have the abilities to do that, and if I have a child, I will do that. But yeah, and you know, it's quite interesting seeing these kind of people. Then I think I managed to, you know, meet other people from the north side when I was, there was one time where I was, my friend invited me to church, then I just go with them. Then I managed to build some relationship with people there. Then there's one person that apparently lives in the north side as well, in the same area as me. And we spoke about living the north side. Then you know, she managed to do quite well in school, and she become some management associate and whatever. Then she was telling me, like, how you realize that when you in the morning commute, when you go to MRT, you wait for the MRT train, you never see a single person dressed in corporate wear at all. Like in my area, when we wait for the MRT, I realized, hey, that's true, eh. As compared to other areas like Tampines or I don't know, other sites where you see people wearing corporate wear, but in the north side, generally there's not as much. Or maybe I'm wrong, maybe she's wrong, I'm not too sure about that. But I think in my area that I'm living in, I don't really see that much at all. So that was quite interesting. And then and also, like, you know, the secondary school being the bottom 10, I think I didn't really know it after somebody told me. I managed to build quite a good relationship with one of the teachers, and he was telling me that other schools, right, they are the I'm not quite sure what's the name of the exam, you know, the exam they give you right before O level happens, just to, you know, bring down your arrogance, because it's so hard that if you did, like, if you score 10 out of 100, then that means that you are probably going to pass the O-level exams. So they make it super hard. But then the thing is, our school is so bad that they flip it the other way around, where they give you, where the exam paper is so easy and people still fail. So they were saying, like, oh, you know, this exam is quite special in the sense where we don't do it like other school, because our school is so terrible to begin with. And then, you know, with the secret society people, and it's interesting, right, that normally, I didn't realize about this, the other schools, right, have 7 to 8 express classes, but then my school only have 2 express classes. I thought 2 express classes was a lot already, you know. But then when I realized, when I talked to other people in poly and uni, they said, 7 to 8. And then some more, right, the worst situation is we have 2 express classes, half of them didn't do well at all. Then they go ITE. Then only a minority did well. No? I score like 14 points, minus 2, 12 points. And I was considered top 20%, like, Jesus. Like that also can score top 20%. And I didn't put a lot of effort into it. I think I got lucky, I don't know. Then as compared to people that I met in, like, maybe in army, they were all these, like, from all those angmoh schools, IB schools and whatever. Then their O-level grades was like single digit one, you know, very easy to get, like very easy like that. Then for me, it's like, oh, it was a pain, man. Then you realize, like, such a difference in terms of perspective and how the environment shapes you, right? You're kind of living in your own bubble. And it's not just like the academics wise. You have a lot of people, because I mentioned just now the secret society people outside, there's a lot of arbing in our school. And some of them, like, definitely went down deep into the wrong path where so one of my friends, like, I mean, now we all graduated from uni already, one of my friends started working in the police, the prison system, right? And they saw one of our seniors. I don't know who it is. Then the person's, my friend was saying like, hey, this person looks very familiar. Then he went to check where the background of this person. Then we realized that, hey, shit, this person was from our school. Then I was like, wow, it's quite bad. Our school was definitely bad. I think this guy was caught for being a runner, I think. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting to see these kind of things happening. And then definitely being from a neighborhood area, from quite a poor neighborhood area, we have a lot of friends there. It's like a quite interesting mix. You have like about 5% of people, or even 1-2%, they are like super rich in the sense where they are the rich Nordies, I would describe it. They live in Sembawang Park, that bungalow area, or they live in mansionette. They are like typically parents that work in that kind of not the white collar that become rich, that kind. It's the other non-white collar become rich. So they have several houses and all these things. So this is like 1-2%. They typically speak English. Then you have the rest who are just neighborhood kids, where you have a large group of people who are Chinese that speaks Chinese only. And then there's maybe 10-20% that speaks English, because it's Malay, Indians and the rich people. So it's kind of interesting to see all these mix happening. And I was kind of in a very special situation where I think at the beginning I mixed with a very purely Chinese speaking crowd, and being in a CCA, like a sports CCA, generally a lot of these people all speak Chinese, and you kind of see, you know, you kind of expose yourself to this kind of purely Chinese speaking environment. It connects quite easily because our parents speak Chinese, we come from a similar background. Then it was around like near sec 4 or sec 3 where we kind of got mixed in, because we stopped, CCA stops, right, to prepare for O level. Then I started mixing with the English speaking people, and then they weren't that bad either, because I think from coming from primary school, it was quite hard. Like I have this misconception that these people who speak English are generally like supposedly more educated and superior than us, and I didn't really carry that much of this kind of perspective, but it was still there, but it didn't really stop me from making friends with them. But it was only in sec 4 that I truly really managed to integrate and just hanging out with them, we studying together, different races all together. Surprisingly, I think because we have only two classes, so you have people just really mixing with different races, and that was nice. We all had fun together, study together. I think we went to somebody's house, like there was this Filipino girl that always bring us to her house, then we study together. Then we'll play Rock Band. Around that time, Rock Band was very popular, Guitar Hero. So we'll study for 1 hour, then we talk for 2 hours, for the second hour. The hour we go to her house and we just play Rock Band. Like what the heck, right? What kind of studying is this? But it was fun, it was memorable. We managed to, you know, create a lot of memories you know, during this time, right? And I don't really regret, because at least we were studying. It wasn't that bad. And we ended up not, like our grades wasn't that bad either. I think a lot of the studying came from just being around people who studied, and we kind of like have this kind of sharing that was involved. If we were serious, we definitely would have scored better, but it was nice. I think this was probably one of the first time where I kind of realized that environment shapes people quite a fair bit, because around this time, I started studying with this group of people. And of course, I have my group of Chinese-speaking friends that was in express class, and they also from the same sports CCA, right? But they didn't really join us. They joined us once or twice, then they didn't join us afterwards, because I think we were, even though we were studying half of the time, and half the time we were playing, but we still studied. And my friend just wasn't able to concentrate and was very distracted. So he just ended up not joining us at the end of the day. He joined us 1-2 times, then he stopped joining us really. And he ended up hanging out with, you know, my CCA friends, and they just go play LAN, play Dota. I think that time Dota was very popular. So he didn't really study much. So I kind of attributed like me scoring well to the fact that at least I did some studying. At least I was around people and I was absorbing from people. So it was unfortunate, but I can't realize environment really shapes you a lot. And I'm still hanging out with my friends these days, but you can kind of see how the path really diverges here. So that friend that went ended up playing Dota, the Chinese speaking friend that came from a similar background to me, I really connected with him a lot because, like, I mean, we were in the same family background, like terrible parents and everything. And I always thought he had a lot of potential. He really had a lot of potential. He was way smarter than me. He was very good at math. I suck at it. But he ended up not doing that well. And you kind of see how the path diverges, because in our O-level grades, because of this different environment and different studying, amount of time studied, right? He ended up not doing so well. And then he went to a school that was like, he went to poly course that is a high cutoff point. So you have a lot of people that got admitted into it, and you have people who are just not interested in studying. Then he ended up clubbing every week, that kind, and just went down, and eventually he signed on as a war spec, a sergeant role. So that was where he went, and I think it was a bit unfortunate. I think he was quite smart, but he just went down that path, smoke, drink, and all these things. And then whereas I ended up having lower points. I went to a poly course that is like lower cutoff point. You have all these people that are like English speaking from schools that have all the Christian names. Then you realize, like, I'm so out of debt, man. I'm like the Chinese speaking guy. Then over time, I went from speaking Chinese to speaking purely English, and my mind just started thinking in English. I think it was just all this exposure, and also being in army, interacting with all the Ivy League people, because I think working as a clerk, you have quite an interesting mix of people. You have about 20% of people that are just a bit of unsound mind. Then you have about 10%, I don't know, 10% is unsound mind, 20% of functional people. And then you have like functional but still has some sort of problem. Then you have about 80% where there is like typical people that has just some weird injury that doesn't really stop them from living their life. So you have a lot of Ivy League students, surprisingly. I don't know, maybe they have a lot of injuries, rich people injuries or whatever. Then we just like, I think through this kind of I would say interaction, that I kind of really cement my, I don't know, my whole language skills, and I just spoke English purely, and my Chinese just deteriorated over time. But I think I really attributed the fact that I interacted with these people and in poly to the reason why I did so well, I think, in uni, where I had to write research paper. I was able to write pretty well. I was able to consistently score A's. It was this environment that really changed a lot. And it's quite interesting to see how things diverge, right? Like, as I went to uni, my CCA friends went on a different path. Then they kind of poly, then they stopped studying really, then they sign on, or they do other jobs, insurance agent and all these things. So it's interesting to see how this diverges, and sometimes you just can't connect with them anymore because of the fact that your mindset is so different and your perspective is so different. And at the same time, I think language itself is also quite a huge difference, right? I think, I saw a quote. I realized how language is like, language really determines how you think, right? Because if you have more vocabulary, more, your language skills is better, it kind of shapes your thinking in that sense. If you know more vocabulary, your understanding, your logic kind of expands through that. And I think there was a quote, but I forgot really. That was amazing. I think it was only interacting with people in army that I realized like how important language is. Then I went to uni, then everything went well. Yeah, but I think overall, seeing how my friends are, but I'm still glad, like I was still able to connect with my friend that was in my CCA, because we came from a similar background. So no matter where I go, right? And I think he also don't really care much about him being less educated than me. We both shared very vulnerable moments together, because like we both came from a similar background, right? having terrible parents. And we also went through the CCA together. When you train three times a week, you burn your Saturdays together, you get tortured by your seniors, tortured by the coach together. Nothing comes between your way, no matter what kind of values you have, how you change as a person. Yeah, so I suppose that's a good part about joining a sports CCA. But it's interesting, you see how environment really shape your outcome, right? And I'm just wondering, you know, even if I have a kid, do I want to put them on the north side? I don't think I would do that. But I have no interest in having a kid anyway. Yeah. And another good example is also, I think as much as I was able to connect with my sports CCA friend from secondary school, I think the one that was challenging to connect with was the friend that I was very close with in primary school. And my primary school was in the same area in Northside as well. And we were best friends, you know. But then over time, right, we just kind of diverged. We stopped meeting. So for, I think different people have different kind of situation, right? But for me, primary school friends were very close, but for some reason, we just didn't connect over time. We kind of went to different schools and all these things. But you kind of see the situation where he also ended up going on a different path. He didn't really do that well. And we have a lot of people who started borrowing money from people, and it was very hard. And then, like, I think I have these two close friends. One just went off the radar, and somebody told me that he was like trying to borrow money from people. Then another guy, he didn't really went off the radar because he also went to the same CCA as me. So we still kept in contact sometimes, and we kind of reconnected about during the time when I was interning in uni. Because apparently one of the accountants in my company was a close friend of him in secondary school where he still keep in contact with. So we kind of like reconnected over a meal. Then I realized how much different our thinking was. Even though we were very, very close friends in the past where we hang out every day, we eat fast food, visited malls, buy stuff together, we bought Xbox, we play games together. Like literally hang out almost every day. But then things just change. I think just a different kind of mindset. And it's just a different kind of pathway where you realize how I think this really puts me, I think really answers like one part of the question of whether private U versus local U is good or not. Because I think the reason why we were still able to be reconnected is because he ended up going to uni, all his friends went to uni together. They went to private uni, and I think through that we were able to see each other. Because you see all the other friends in primary school, right? They all went to this kind of very weird route where they borrowed money, they didn't go to university. So it was impossible to really have a chance to connect. But it was because the fact that he went to uni, then we were able to connect. But that aside, I think it was interesting to hear him talk about his experience from private uni perspective. And as much as I used to kind of like, I went to a uni that is a local uni, but it's very new. It's one of the new unis, you know, like SUSS, SUTD, all these things. And they don't have that kind of established prestige as others. And I thought, you know, what's the real difference, right? If you think about it, if you first join this school, but when this school become local, right, then you kind of decide which one is better. Should I go to private U where I can just use my, from poly, right, I can use my poly to kind of deduct all these course requirements to just need to go to school for 1 year, then I can get my degree, as compared to a school that is 3 years, 4 years, that is local? What kind of benefits do you get? You can't really, you know, the amount of time shave is such a big attraction that you, most often time people go to local U instead. And speaking to my friend, kind of realize like, what are the downsides of that? So firstly, you realize that he went to like a business accountancy course. And even though he was, you know, he finished this pretty quickly, when he came out, when he graduated, it was very hard for him to find a job. He couldn't even land a big four accountancy firm. And he ended up going to I think there was big four, big 12, and big four, then mid 12. Then I think there's lesser, there's like the more SME kind. he ended up going to the SME kind. He didn't really manage to, he struggled a lot to even enter the mid 12 accountancy firms. And with a private U, he wasn't able to get as much garner as much salary as compared to my friends who I suppose studied I guess 3 to 4 years in a local U that is not so prestigious, because they were able to land a big four job and they were able to earn like 3k at the start. I think now the rate changed already, my friend told me. Now starting pay is about 3.3 or 3.6. Then every year it really increases by a lot, like 600, the kind of situation. So I'm not quite sure whether SME situation, even though he was paid lesser, do they get the same amount of pay raise as the top four? I don't think so, right? So you kind of see a huge difference. And also it also comes in terms of the career support. You see, I'm not quite sure whether there's any kind of career support, because I spoke to all my private U friends. Never really talk about any career support in their private U. But then in a local U kind of situation, you have a dedicated kind of career support situation. So we have actual industry people who are like ex-senior management or C-suite people that just decides to retire and work as a career support person. And they were able to, I don't know, use their network, their ability to negotiate, connect, to give people in the school internships to a top four agency, to a big four agency. So that was quite interesting in terms of the difference here. But at the end of the day, I think Singaporeans is also a bit kanchong. As a guy, you spend 2 years in army. If you have the opportunity to just study 1 year, I would do. I mean, anybody would take that in a heartbeat, right? But the question here is whether you have the, whether opportunity is also one thing. If I was rich, if my parents are well connected, I would just take that 1 year of studying, because at the end of the day, I can easily find a job. But if you are like poor, no connection like me, then it is not as good, I suppose. And you really need to rely on the school's connection, right? But I guess this is some of my thoughts. I think we went from north side, west side into something about studies. I don't know, it's just being random here. Just talking about things that are related and just sharing my experience. I was thinking about the listener experience lately, and I was thinking about how do I want to, I still don't know really what is my podcast. And I've that's why you see like I talk about how I talk about life, news and everything interesting, right? That's how I start off. And in order for this to be something, I think one thing I envision this podcast to be is something that people listen to while they do things. And then in this case, I want things to be a mix of being more lighthearted, fun, and also something more serious and close to heart. I don't want to have too much serious topic. So that's what I'm trying to aim for. So this one is more serious. And then I think last episode was, last episode, whatever, the Malaysia one was more lighthearted, more fun. So hopefully that way is better. If you like it, please let me know. If you have any suggestions or feedback, please share with me via the email. You can find the email at on the description. And also if you want to support this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/chillaxpodcast, patreon.com. So you know, for a monthly subscription, you can get extra episodes, and any amount of money really goes a long way in terms of helping this podcast. I mean, hopefully one day there's enough support where I can do this full time, or even justify my time to just do more episodes. I can provide more free episodes, I can provide more episodes on the Patreon page itself, and even create a video podcast as well. So that's the goal here. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.